Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, dude. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
What's up, guys?
I am your host, Steve-O, and to my right
is your other host.
The sexy man, Nate Heitzig.
Did you say the sexy man?
Sexy man. Quite sexy.
Oh, I like that title.
You're like John Foreman meets John Foreman. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. It's a one-hour call-in show centered around your questions, your concerns. You feel free to be concerned for me. I just called another dude sexy.
Yeah. You know, if you want to pray for us, that'd be nice. That'd be helpful.
That'd be good.
You know, I got a really cool comment the other night, Steve-O. Someone came up to me and they said, hey, I've been listening to your show and it's really changed my life. It's really impacted
me.
A girl over at Renovate, she just came up. She said, hey, I listened to your show and it's been answering the tough questions that I have and it's been so encouraging and it strengthened my walk with God. And it's always good to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is what we're here for.
I think I kind of have this idea that people are compulsively vomiting whenever they listen to the show. And they're just, like, super offended, but apparently people are actually getting fed. So that's our heart, and I'm glad to hear that.
That's actually, we got an email that I wanted to share that, person emailed in anonymously, didn't want to give their real name, but they had heard that the homosexual part of the Bible was a mistranslation and wanted to know our thoughts. And I responded and talked to this person off the air about our podcast, because we do have a podcast. In fact, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive, you can download the podcast of all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, or you can just stream it right there on your computer anyways.
Yeah.
They listened to that show, responded back, and said, thank you for the answer. I know you're busy, but can you please pray for me to get God's truth about this? What you said opened my eyes, and I know I need him to guide me in the right direction. Thank you. And so it's I'm excited to be a part of this. It's my favorite hour of the week.
It's a lot of fun.
I say this to Matt regularly. This is my favorite hour of radio I do every week. So,
dude, it's a good time. And if you want to stroke our egos and make us feel better about ourselves, you can call us and tell us how much you love us, too.
Or if you're feeling challenged right now, maybe you're dealing with a situation that absolutely sucks and you have no idea where to turn, that's what we're here for. And, you know, it's all about what the Bible has to say, not what a pastor has to say, not what, you know.
You know, and this is your show, and that's why we do this. This isn't our show. This isn't us talking about our problems, or this isn't us talking about, you know, how awesome we are or anything like that. The point of this show is for you to get your questions answered. Yeah. So we really want this to be your show. Talk about your life, your struggles, because we want to help you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Biblically. Yeah. And that is the number one thing, is this is a Bible-based show. We adhere to a biblical worldview, and so if you have questions about anything according to what the Bible has to say, that's what it's about. Because a lot of times, let's be honest, there's some weird stuff going out there, whether it's Facebook and some creepy, crazy theologies, and or Joel at the Pit. You know, you never know. So facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to get a question in, or give us a call. We got a caller right now, actually. 505-338-3700, the number. Hello, welcome
What's
to Shock
up?
Therapy Live.
Hi, my name is Brenna.
Hello.
I was wondering, I have a lot of unbelievers in my life.
Okay.
You know, like I have a pagan sister, and, you know, I basically only have my mom that's a believer. And, I have a person who's kind of open to Christianity, but not really that enthusiastic about it, and I can tell he's not really feeling it. So how would you say that you find the balance between not being preachy, but trying to explain it to a non-believer?
You know, one of the biggest reasons that people have of not wanting to come to Christ is they say that Christians are hypocritical, that they're judgmental, and that they're rude. So the number one thing that you can do to break down that stigma that people have is to not be that. So, you know, we want to share the truth in word, but we also want to do it in action. I think it's very important to first do it in action and then do it in word.
Yeah.
So you want to show those people around you that despite the fact that they have beliefs that are contradictory to yours, that you're going to love them just the same, that your love for them and who they are doesn't change on whether or not they have a relationship with Christ, because Christ is the same with us. Christ loves us regardless of whether or not we accept him or not, but he desires that we have a relationship with him. So we have to keep that in mind, that you want to show that love and show that that caring in deed and then in word. So once they've seen that in your life in a very practical and a very real way, and I will say this too, that you're not contradicting what you're saying, because I know a lot of Christians that will say one thing and then they'll do a completely different thing and they'll be someone else. So whatever you're telling them and how you're telling them that Jesus Christ is going to change your life, make sure that your life is changed. Make sure that your life is being lived for Jesus Christ and that your life is a testimony of what God has done and the change that God has brought about in you. And then from there, the opportunity will present itself. You know, I can't say, well, after 2 months, then is that's the golden moment to share your faith. And that's the hour when they're going to accept Christ. You know, it's different for everybody. Yeah. But I promise you that if you love them unconditionally and if you live a life that is exemplary before the sight of the Lord, then what's going to happen over time, they're going to see that, and they're going to see that your belief isn't just something you say, but it's something that has changed your life and influences every decision that you make. And then the opportunity will present itself, and you'll know it when it does, to share your faith with those people.
Absolutely. And I tell this story a lot. One of my best friends in the entire world, his name's Jason. When I first met him, he was like this interesting Zen Buddhist mix. He had this weird mix of religions. I don't think he knew what he was, but he had these fun ideas of you know, spirituality, and he was all Zen man and all this stuff. And one of my dearest friends, and I just continue to love him. You know, Jesus Christ calls us first to love. In fact, that's the greatest commandment. He says to love one another. So as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By your love, all men will know you are my disciples. And I just continue to love on this dude. We used to go snowboarding together. We still do. And just rock some trips. And God opened the door. God opened this time where we were stuck in the snow and just hanging out with him. And over time, and just sharing my heart and my life experiences and what God had done in my life. And he saw those things and now is one of the strongest brothers in Christ that I have. He loves Jesus with this fervent love. And so never give up on those friends. You continue to love on those friends. And you don't have to be preachy. I think of the golfer who was golfing with Billy Graham one time and was so angry at the end of it because he said that Billy Graham had just been so preachy and so blah, you know. And Billy Graham had never even said the name Jesus Christ. He was just being Billy Graham, you know, just loving on him and hanging out with him. And so people are gonna see it in your life, whether you speak those words or not. And so
would Billy Graham have said? How would he have said it?
I don't know, man. Your dad does the best Billy Graham impression. I don't know.
I can't do it very well. No. I can try, but it'd be embarrassing for everybody involved.
Does that help you out?
Yeah, thanks.
Right on. Thanks for your call.
Hey, and keep this in mind, too. You know, we're constantly told to preach the gospel, and that's very important. But Jesus is the model we want to follow. And before Jesus ever came to somebody and told them they were a sinner, he first met their physical need. You know, we think of the woman who was a prostitute, and she was about to get stoned. Jesus could have very easily come up and said, hey, you know, they're right. Those Pharisees are right. You did sin, and you need to be forgiven of that sin. But instead of doing that, Jesus first met her physical need and was friendly to her, and then he shared the truth to her. So we want to keep that in mind when ministering to other people, before we just, you know, preach the fire and brimstone, the judgment of God, that if you don't accept Christ, you're going to go to hell. Before we do that, we want to first show them love and show them that Jesus Christ, first and foremost, is a God of love and a God of mercy, and he accepts us wherever we are in our place in life. And we don't have to change something about ourselves to come to him. We come to him, and then he changes us. Yeah. So it's really important to keep that in mind.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling.
All right. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. The phone number 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to get a question in. Dude, you know what? We had this amazing missionary in our church today from Calcutta Mission, Mercy Mission or something. She started
Calcutta,
this,
India.
Yeah, Calcutta, India, right? She started this 50-something years ago. In fact, Mission of Mercy They were all in cahoots from that. She started this basically, you know, friends with Mother Teresa, all these crazy things. She was talking about going over there and how their religion, you know, they would, if you try to build a church in their village, they'd burn it down, right? I mean, they were very hostile. And the way they started is they had schools and they were teaching the young and they had hospitals and they were helping these children. And she was telling a story about this one child who they had a cleft, a palate, I guess.
Cleft palate,
right?
Yeah.
And according to their religion over there, it was a curse to the family because of, you know, past sins. They believe in reincarnation. And so this child basically was cursed.
That's why Seth lives in the shed.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so what they did in turn was they were able to, through the hospital, you know, they performed surgery on this child, this beautiful, beautiful child, and told them, go back to your village with this beautiful child. Show them what the glory of Jesus Christ has done. That this child is not a curse. This child is a blessing. And met that physical need. You know,
so cool.
So important. Calcutta Mercy Ministries. That's what it is. Thank you. Mrs. Buntain was on. She was amazing this morning. Anyways, if you'd like to get into the discussion, Shock Therapy Live, it is 505-338-3700.
We like you. Give us a call. We want to talk to you.
Or
if you
want
to talk to us about movies...
Movies?
We can do that.
We got so many questions, though, in email form, but let's take this call first. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, Steve-O. Hey.
Hey.
Nate. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing
how well. Are you?
Very good. It's Cali Deb.
Hola. She calls
hey,
on
hey.
The morning show. This is
hey,
Cali
hey.
Deb. She's from Cali, and her name's Deb, so she's Cali Deb. What's up, Cali Deb?
Hey, listen, I love this subject. And you know what? I wanted to just say a perfect thing for the caller and... One thing that I've gotten really confused about, but it really helped me out, was to refer to scripture about judge not lest you be judged. And there was a movie done about a golfer, if you guys recall it, and I don't remember the name, but it was a perfect analogy of the dad being like really, because this golfer was like, you know, this golfer was like a drinker and his dad was being judgmental. And
Happy Gilmore. It was Happy Gilmore.
Thank you. No.
No? Okay. No. That's the only golfer movie. Ever.
John Daly.
John, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the woman said, you know, when she brought, you know, she was starting to date him, the dad was really like prejudiced and, you know, judging and everything. And she, you know, because he was like, well, is he this or that, you know, whatever religion. And he says, remember what I taught you? And she says, yes, you taught me what the good book says. Is judge not lest you be judged. And the dad just had to stop to sit there and say nothing. But, you know, I wanted to relate a really cool story about, some Wiccans that I had met and, basically had said, look, you know, you Christians are always da, 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 da. And he says, how come you're not like that? Now I'm not tooting a horn. I'm just saying my first thing says, well, what does the Bible say? And I'm not to judge. Do I judge? I judge all the time. And you know what? By God's grace, you know, I try not to, and every day I have to ask not to judge others because I don't want to be judged that way. And that's, it's not for me to say who you guys are, whether you're right or wrong. I can only tell you what scripture says and what Jesus Christ did for me. And if you guys want to discover that, you can. And so I want to be the one that they say, well, see, not all Christians aren't that way. Because yeah, we do get pegged for hypocriticalness and hypocrisy. And I've ran from a church because of that, because of people saying I should do this or that with my life. It's like, wait a minute. Call my sin out all day long, but don't tell me how to live. And if it's not about Jesus, you can't be even in my business, you know? So I just wanted to say that that is a hard one. But I have to stand up and say, and I have to take account for every time somebody says to me, why do you believe what you believe? And I have to have an answer because I saw in the marquee once, you have to, you know, you may be the only Bible that a person ever reads.
Yes.
Right. There you go.
Amen.
Thanks, Cali Deb,
thanks
for your
much,
call.
Deb.
If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Mm-hmm. We got a few emails. You can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, if you'd like to keep it anonymous. Valerie emailed in, and she says you don't have to keep this anonymous, but check it out. Someone has hurt my feelings badly, but when I try to talk about it, they quickly say, I don't want to argue with you, in quotations. I'm not arguing. I'm simply and respectfully stating what they did and how it hurt me. I'm searching for healing. They won't talk to me about it usually. And the Bible says love believes all things, endures all things. But if I don't believe them based on their behavior, does it mean I don't love them? Question mark. And if they're not remorseful but try to sweep it under the rug every time they repeat this behavior, what is my position? Love covers a multitude of sins, yes. But what if it's abusive? Thank you guys very much.
Well, there's a difference between forgiving and loving and accepting abuse. Okay. There's a huge difference between that. We have to keep in mind that Jesus told us that we're to forgive 90 times 9. And obviously that doesn't mean we're supposed to forgive 180 times and then you're set free. Right. But it means that we're supposed to forgive constantly. It doesn't matter how many times someone wrongs you, how many times they apologize for it, and how many times they do it again. You're supposed to forgive them. But that doesn't mean that you have to be a victim and wait for it. You can still guard your heart. You can still guard yourself. And we're also told this kind of this idea that we almost want to, you know, if and I don't know if this person's Christian or non-Christian, but we're told that there's certain people that we're supposed to shake the dust off of our feet and you know, not necessarily spend time and spend company with because of the influence that they might be having on us or the lack of influence that we're having on them, vice versa. But we want to keep in mind that we're supposed to love, but that loving doesn't mean we have to wait to get victimized.
Right.
We want to be smart, too. We don't want to be loving and stupid and just let ourselves get hurt over and over again. We want to be loving and smart.
It's funny. This last week, you know, Static Radio, we go through the Bible together with the listeners. It's called Grounded. You can check it out daily at our Facebook page. But this last week, Luke 17 was part of our reading. And it says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. But if somebody, quote unquote, repents of their sin, repentance and just saying, ah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, I don't want to talk about it, and just tries to brush over it, those are two completely different things, right?
Definitely.
So it says, yeah, you need to forgive them. You must forgive them if they repent of their sin. But to repent of their sin means to turn away from it, right?
Definitely.
You basically do a 180 and you're like, not only am I sorry for what I've done, but now I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
Of course, it says that in the same breath as if they do it 7 times in the day, you still have to forgive them. But
You know, it's a really difficult thing because people can wrong you in your life. And we're still called to forgive them, even if that's 20 years ago that they wronged you. A lot of people can still harbor that bitterness and that anger. And realistically, when you do that, you're hurting yourself. You're not hurting them. If you have that harbor, that grudge and that bitterness and that anger in your heart, it's really going to hurt you in the future. It's going to hurt your relationships. It's going to hurt your life. It's not going to hurt theirs. If they have a hardened heart and they don't want to talk about it, then, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. But if you harbor that grudge and that bitterness in your heart, it's going to tear you apart. It's going to eat at you. And what's going to happen is that's all you're going to think about is that person who wronged you. It's all you're ever going to think about. And then also, you know, I find this a lot. People will come into my office, girls mainly, who had issues with fathers or boys, and now they have a bitterness and an anger towards all men in their lives because they never got past that initial time where they harbored that grudge and that bitterness. And it's important that we get past that. And you know, God's will for us is that we would forgive them, not just for their sake, but also for our sake. And that's why that's written to us.
And we love as Christ first loved us. And I think of this scripture in Romans that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. He didn't wait for us to say sorry to take up the cross, because he'd probably still be waiting. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't care and we're unrepentant. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And what a great example you can be to this person who may not know Jesus Christ, to love them, to forgive them, and say, you know what, you've wronged me, but I forgive you because I am forgiven. And so,
yeah. And you know, what a perfect example, because how often do we sin and then not confess that sin to God for a long time?
Right.
We try to brush it under the rug and hide it and keep it from God. And yet we're called to love like God loves, and God loves us despite what we do. You know, but at the same time, God also, when we sin and we mess up, there's punishment for that sin.
Right.
So I would say, you know, if there's someone who really wronged you, they harmed you, they hurt you in some way, and they don't want to talk about it, then what you can easily tell them is say, okay, that's fine. Well, I don't want to talk to you then, and I don't want to have fellowship with you until we can talk about that. And just very lovingly, you can do that very easily. You can say, hey, I love you, I care for you, but until you're ready to talk about this with me, I don't think we should talk anymore. And there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yeah.
As long as you do it in love, not in anger and hate and yell at them. But if you just let them know that you were hurt and you want to talk about that, and until they're ready to do so, that there shouldn't be any fellowship. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
There you go. All right, Valerie, thank you for your email question. If you'd like to get a question into Shock Therapy Live, you can do so. Studio at mystaticradio.com is the email. Well, of course, Facebook is always available. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Or give us a call. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
Hey, we got a question for you, Steve-O.
Yeah.
It says, Jared Murphy said, I would like to ask Steve-O a life-changing, very important, relevant question.
He's a drummer in our worship team, so I'm sure it's very serious and important.
Why could the Buccaneers not pull off the win against the Niners today? Why?
Wow.
Think about it before you answer it. And remember, this is a biblical, biblical perspective. Biblical perspective.
The biblical perspective then would be that, you know, the rain.
The biblical perspective is legion, for we are many.
Yeah, dude. Pours down on, like, the just and unjust, right? On the righteous and unrighteous. And apparently the Bucks. We choked today, man. 3 points? Are you kidding me? It was terrible.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I hate football.
What?
Hate it.
How can you call yourself a man?
My sports watching season ends at the end of October, and yeah. I will not watch sports again until the spring.
Wow, that kind of hurts, man. You never played football?
Really? It's like a bunch of guys who have a super big ego and pride going around hitting each other. Okay, these guys, dude. I don't know. I'm just not a fan.
Wow.
College football, I enjoy a little bit more, but...
You're killing me.
NFL?
You're killing me.
No thanks.
Whatever. 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We got a call right now, actually. 338-3700. What's
yes,
up?
Sir.
You're on the air. Hello.
How's it going, man? I'm just loving y'all subject matter here. And I couldn't help from reminiscing on the passage of Scripture when Jesus said, I have not come to save the righteous, yeah. but I've come to save the lost.
Yeah. Amen.
So what church folks, I'm a evangelist, and I do a holy hip-hop radio broadcast.
Word.
You can go to you can go to Gospel Rap Nation, just Google that. The rap stands for Radical Anointed Preaching. But anyway.
Love it.
We have a problem in the body of Christ, corporately. Our problem is, the real people like yourselves who have a heart for people, because I guess you guys wouldn't be talking about the subject if you didn't have a heart for people.
Amen.
And then you have people in the church who are real pissy and holier than thou, and they don't say that, but they really don't see themselves, you know, in terms of how a person would come in off the street. You know, we had a guy come in church. I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm here in Cruces right now, promoting my radio ministry, but we had a guy 2 weeks ago come in church with no shoes and just shorts, jeans on, and some tank top, and he just was just down on his luck. He's unemployed, and he wasn't a drunkie or anything. He just looked like, I can really tell pretty much that if he was a drug addict or a bum on the street being brought, but no, he was just really down on his luck, and he was
right.
looking for church folks just to basically to love on him. And you know, he sat there in the parking lot and he cried. He was disappointed because how he felt when he walked in. Everybody just looked at him.
Hmm. Wow. You know? Judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hit
me hard, you know, when you guys were talking about this, you know.
You know, that's so true. Church is for prostitutes. Church is for drug addicts. Church is for people who are living sinful lifestyles. That's what we're here for, is to reach
right.
the lost and hurting world.
Yeah.
You know,
when we
fail to do so, we miss out not just on something that God has for their lives, but we miss out on God's blessing for our lives and being able to take part in His plan for our lives. And that's such
yeah.
an important thing to realize.
And it's crazy because I'll tell you what, man, I was the most selfish, arrogant, prideful individual, and Jesus Christ had to take hold of me in a monstrous way.
Wow.
So it's interesting, like as you call in and say, you guys obviously have a heart for people. It even that phrase hits me hard because I can remember a time in my life where I couldn't care any less for the rest of the people of the world because I was so self-absorbed. And sadly, man, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up Baptist, and I grew up in a place where I stopped going to church once I started getting tattoos because I was basically looked down upon and, you know, told I'll never amount to anything. And it was unbelievable. But the good news is...
You know what, my friend, you sound a lot like even my walk. You know, I grew up in church all my life.
Right.
You know, I'm a son of a preacher's kid. You know, for crying out loud. My grandfather preached 53, he pastored 53 years.
Dude, you sound like a preacher, man. Every time you talk, I just want to say amen.
Right.
I just kind of want to just shout out amens, bro. Amen.
Please, you know, we the worst, man. I had a double life.
Yeah.
You know, I had to learn really what it is to have the mind of Christ.
Right. Absolutely. You
know, again, I want to say amen.
I know, right?
Amen. I'm just going to start throwing it out there, man.
I judge people, you know, but through my I had a very big humbling experience, man, because of my lifestyle. And it humbled me for years to the point where I had to think to myself, you know what, Lord, I'm yours. You get me out of this mess.
Amen.
I'm yours. And right. It's a book. I'm reading this book called The Beauty of Brokenness. And it's a real, real good book. And then I read another book called This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti.
Yep, Frank Peretti. Yeah.
And then it just kind of enlightened me on the spirit realm a little bit as to what's really going on. And we as the body of Christ, we really need to eat humble pie and towards before we speak on somebody's life, because we don't know what they've been through. Right. And Christ, he met people right there. Then and there, right there.
Absolutely.
He met there. And I have to say, you know, I told this pastor, I said, you know what, the gospel's a whole lot better, Pastor, if we can, like, feed some homeless people downtown Los Angeles. You know, there's people flock all over the country to downtown Los Angeles. And I'm going to go and I'm going to put it up on my YouTube, and I'm going to show how just normal people are down there living in tents, blocks and blocks of it, brother.
Right.
It's heart-wrenching, and it makes me hurt. I'm a big guy, and I get all juicy and hurt, man, when I see families and in their tents, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
It hurts, man. You know what I mean? To see people, you know, it really does hurt, man.
Dude, well, you know, you hit on such a key subject, because we're even told in James chapter 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is this, to take care of widows and orphans.
Right.
And there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of broken, there's a lot of lost people in this world that have nowhere to go. And we as the church are to be the number one place that they can come to, get answers, get love, get their needs met. And that's pure and undefiled religion. That's a relationship with Christ. It's not just sitting in a pulpit and preaching it, but it's actually doing it.
Yeah, it's sad. They come to church seeking hope, and 9 times out of 10, they get hypocrisy. And so, thank you so much for your call.
Hey, I have one question for you before we go.
BigPreacher@live.com.
There you go.
Email me some fellas. I would love to.
Yeah.
Can you rap for us before we go?
He's not that kind of rapper.
He's not?
No. It was like a righteous.
So we can work together and really reaching a lot of people. You guys are doing good broadcasting.
Yeah,
dude,
please,
I love it, man.
Please email us. You can email studio@mystaticradio.com. Email us and we will definitely keep in touch.
What is it again? I'm sorry.
It's studio@mystaticradio.com. You're
studio
emailing the studio at mystaticradio.com. That's all you got to think about.
Mystaticradio.com.
Yep.
Dude,
thank you so
call
much.
Us anytime you want to. It was a pleasure talking with you,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
God bless in your ministry,
God
bro.
God bless.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
There you go.
Rap Nation.
There you go. Doing a work down in Las
Amen.
Cruces. Amazing. Dude, it's cool. It's cool to see the body come together and just get excited, and I love it. I hope and pray that that's what this show does, is ignite those people who are just kind of sitting around, and maybe you don't have any questions or you're not challenged in your life. But that in and of itself, it's called complacency, and maybe you're just at a place where you need to get out and do something.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be doing a lot more stuff with the Albuquerque Rescue Mission here. We have Doug in studio every Tuesday morning on The Old Man and the Steve. And, man, just encourage you to get out, because it could be that you are sitting there wallowing in self-pity in some struggle, in some horrible situation. What you need to do is get out and serve someone else rather than sit there in your crap.
Dude.
And think about yourself. You know
Amen.
What I mean? Because that's what you're doing. When you're focusing on your issue, you're focusing on yourself.
Amen.
You need to take your mind off of yourself. You put it on Christ, and you go out and you help somebody else hurting. And man, it is amazing to see how God can use that just to fill you up. You know,
and that's a biblical principle. It's Isaiah or Jeremiah. I forget which one, but it talks about pouring yourself out. Mm-hmm. And it says, he's talking to the people of Israel, and it says, you're dry, you're complaining about not having passion, about not having, and being dry. And he basically says, if you want to be filled up, pour yourself out.
Right.
And that's basically the thrust of the message. And it's such a biblical principle that if we want to have our lives enriched, then we need to pour ourselves out. And I see this so, so beautifully when people are going through a struggle in their life, something profound, something difficult, but they trust in God, and then they meet someone else who's going through that same struggle, and they're able to then use the struggle that they are having in their lives to enrich someone else's life. And right. what it does is it gives that person a purpose for their struggle. Yeah. It gives that person a reason for what they're going through, and it makes them so much more grateful to God for all the circumstances and all the trials that can come in their lives.
Absolutely, man. My wife and I went through one of the biggest trials ever because of my stupidity, because of my arrogance, because of my sin, because of my just idiocy. And now we have multiple couples around us who, you know, are going through these same struggles, and it is amazing to see God pour out and pour out through us and be able to go, hey, 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 I was in this situation. Here's what not to do, you know, and here is how when you make this decision, when you make that U-turn, when you change your life for Jesus Christ, let me show you what he has done through, you know, my life since. And it's pretty incredible. Man, we have to take a quick break. We're like 8 minutes over on our break, but it's been such an amazing discussion so far. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or give us a call and, take a very, very quick break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. Leave your comment on tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. You're still listening? Good, because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Never let me do the boom.
I'm sorry. Well, that's because the voice guy is still talking.
I don't care about the voice guy.
You do the boom in studio every time. Does it really matter if other people hear you do the boom?
It makes me feel better about myself.
If a Nate Heitzig is in the forest alone and does the boom and no one's around to hear it, does he ever really do the boom?
Steve-O. I'm having a hard time right now in my life.
This is true. Pray for Nate. He lost his backpack with like all of his stuff in it, and he's like freaking out tonight.
And you couldn't let me do the boom.
I'm here, you know.
That would have made me feel so much better about myself. Here. It would have just given me encouragement.
You want to do the boom? Here. Okay?
Boom.
There you go. Okay? There you go. Are you happy now?
No.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me is my emo co-host. His name is Pastor Nate Heitzig, and he's wearing guyliner right now because he's sad and emo.
You just kind of like, I'm a kid who wanted to go to Disneyland. You said, sorry, we didn't have time, but hey, we can go to the McDonald's play place later on.
I let you do the boom.
There was no anticipation. There was no excitement. I bet you the people listening were waiting for the boom. They're probably, oh man, I wonder if he's going to do the boom. I wonder if it's going to come. And then you didn't let me do it. And then they're probably listening right now and they hear the sympathy boom. They're like, okay, sympathy boom.
Deflated.
It's not the same as the actual boom. You just disappointed
an ocean
of listeners.
You know what? The only way I can respond now is answering people's questions. How's that? We have a ton of questions we have to get through. But we've been talking. Are you ready for this? We got an email from John who says, hey, I'm sure you guys have at least 5 million unanswered questions. We do, because Nate never stops talking and complaining about the boom.
Hey, if anyone wants a host job for shock therapy, give me a call.
But if you could get to this one of these days, that would be great. He says, what do you think of smoking?
It's disgusting.
Okay. He says,
I definitely don't
think that it means someone isn't a Christian if they smoke, but cigarettes are obviously terrible for you. The guitarist from Maylene and the Sons of Disaster is seen smoking in some band photos. Is that wrong since it clearly causes people to stumble? I love that band, by the way, he says.
Hmm.
Finally, what about celebratory cigars smoked about once a month?
A lot of celebrations.
I know, right? I smoke those on occasion, and I justify it. He's already answering his own question. And I justify it by saying, yeah, maybe a cigar takes away 15 minutes of my life.
What kind of cigars are you smoking?
But how much life does all that junk food that you eat take away? Thanks, love you guys. And there it is. So first question is, what do you think of smoking?
And the obvious loophole, what if it's a vegan who's talking to you about smoking cigars? He doesn't eat junk food.
No, that's just... dude. And then he's going to be pasty white, and they only eat SpongeBob SquarePants, and it's terrible.
Hey, great question, and it's something the Bible doesn't talk about, so we get questions about it a lot, of what does the Bible say about smoking?
Right.
Nothing. It doesn't say anything about smoking. The one thing that we can know is that the Bible says that our body is the temple of the living God, and that we're supposed to take care of that body. We're supposed to care for that body. Obviously, smoking harms your body. No one's going to refute that and say, no, it doesn't. If they do, they're ignorant and they're stupid. But smoking harms your body. So, number one, it's disgusting. It smells bad and it's gross.
Yeah.
Number two, it hurts your body. And number three, it looks bad. You never see someone on the side of the road smoking a cigarette and say, man, I bet that person has a great relationship with Jesus Christ. I've never done that in my life. Looked at someone smoking on the side of the road and said
that. Yeah, but is that really, like he said, it doesn't mean that someone isn't a Christian if
no,
they smoke.
No, it doesn't mean they're not a Christian. I'm not saying they're not a Christian, but I'm saying it doesn't look good. And
right.
I don't think you have to be Einstein to know that it doesn't look good.
Right.
I wouldn't say that it proclaims the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
If anything, it takes away from your witness.
You know, and 1 Corinthians tells you, whatever you do, whether in food or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of the Lord. So if you can honestly say, dude, I'm going to rock this Turkish gold, you know, and to the glory of the Lord, then by all means. If that's
Jesus saves.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
I'll tell
you what.
Do that?
Were you ever a smoker?
No.
Are you just saying that because your dad's probably listening?
No, I smoked cigars, but I never smoked cigarettes.
Okay. I smoked for
About
a decade I was a smoker. In fact, my wedding gift from my wife was she quit smoking. We both quit smoking on our wedding day. Haven't had a cigarette since then. We'll be married 9 years, actually, in a week and a half. And it's still one of the most difficult things for me because I still have a desire. I still have a tendency sometimes, and I want to smoke. But I know I have two beautiful children, and what kind of example would I be setting for said children if I was smoking? Because, no, it's not that it's quote-unquote sinful. You're not going to go to hell for smoking. In fact, if you're a believer, Levi Lesko used to say this, and I'll never forget it. He used to say, if you're a smoker and you're a Christian, it's not going to send you to hell. In fact, you're probably going to get to heaven quicker than the rest of us because you're going to die from lung cancer. So it's not going to... Your salvation is not in jeopardy.
Yeah.
However, it's still disgusting. I put it on the scale of eating McDonald's because we talk about our body being a temple for the holy living God.
You know, I wouldn't say I put it quite at the level of eating McDonald's.
McDonald's isn't as
This is the reason why. This is the reason why. No one is ever eating McDonald's in public, and then a Christian comes up and says, "Oh, you're a Christian, aren't you?" Yeah, well, then why are you eating McDonald's?
Dude.
No one ever asked you that question.
But why don't we ask that question? Because
but
talking biblically...
But this is the point. We talked about this when we talked about drinking.
Right.
Is that drinking isn't necessarily bad, but we encourage people not to do it in public. Why? Because it's a bad witness as being a Christian. It's not something wrong, but it's something a lot of people struggle with. You don't want to cause your brother to stumble. So I would place the same thing with smoking in that genre of things, along with drinking wine, drinking alcohol, that it's not wrong. But I would be careful at how often you do it in public because it doesn't look good. For instance, here on Calvary campus, we do not allow smoking anywhere on the campus. And
right.
If anyone smokes, we ask them to please either A, put their cigarette out, or B, leave. Now, do we believe that person who smokes the cigarette on Calvary campus is going to hell straight, like directly? No, not at all. Do we believe they're going to go to hell if they don't confess that they smoked? No, not at all. We just don't think it's a good witness for have people smoking at churches.
Right. And well, yeah, and there's a ton of kids around. I take it back to the kids. Think of the kids! Because, you know, I would never want somebody smoking around my kiddos because it's nasty. And you look at the statistics for secondhand smoke. You look at, you know, so it's not necessarily a biblical foundation of you're going to go to hell if you smoke. But it's just nasty, bro. And same with cigars. I was a smoker. I was not a cigar smoker, and I never really got into cigars because you don't inhale cigars, right?
Mm-mm.
And so it's like, blech. Basically, go lick an ashtray. Because
well,
that's pretty much the same thing as smoking cigarettes.
And that's the other thing. We're not supposed to be, as far as smoking cigarettes, we're not supposed to be controlled by anything. And I would say people are more controlled by cigarettes often than they are by alcohol.
True that.
And it controls them. I have family members who smoke, and they literally have to go outside every 30 minutes to smoke a cigarette. And it controls their life. It controls where they go. You go to a restaurant. Oh, you can't smoke at this restaurant. Okay, we can't go to this restaurant. It controls what they do, who they hang out with. I mean, it really controls their life. And if we're being controlled by that, then we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that is a biblical principle and a philosophy that we're not supposed to be under the power of any substance. So if you're addicted to nicotine, if you're addicted to tobacco, well, then I would say that that does come under biblical oversight and that you do need to get rid of that because that is controlling your life. Do I believe that if you die, you're a cigarette smoker, that you're going to go to hell? No, I don't. But I think it's definitely, as a Christian who's going to take part in the full process of sanctification, it's something we definitely need to look at.
Yeah, I tell you what, every time I see somebody smoking and I have that iota of a desire to smoke again, I think of my two little boys and the fact that I would be doing a disservice to them because I lost my father when I was 6 years old, and I don't want to do anything that is going to contribute to the possibility of me not being around for those two amazing little dudes. And so...
And I just look at it, and it just grosses me out.
Good!
Literally, when I drive on the street and I see someone smoking a cigarette, I think to myself, I wonder if they know how dirty they look.
You obviously didn't grow up watching Bruce Willis movies or Humphrey Bogart movies like me, because I'll tell you what, it was the coolest thing in the world when I was a little kid. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, but when you're about, like, when you're someone who's, like, you know, 80 pounds overweight, and you're smoking a cigarette, and you're wearing, like, just weird clothes.
You really think the smoking contributed to being 80 pounds overweight, or was it the McDonald's we were talking about? All right, moving on. Shock Therapy Live. I am your host, Steve-O.
You're so fired.
With me.
I'm going to go eat a Big Mac after this.
Pastor Nate Heitzig.
I'm going to get a double quarter pounder, pretend it's your face, and punch it.
Taking your calls and your questions. Ricky says she has a question about tattoos, actually. She says she wants one, but what does the Bible say about it? That's actually a really good question that we've answered.
I don't know. What's McDonald's say about it? What do you think about McDonald's?
You know, I don't. Would you get a Golden Arches tattoo? You might as well just get Golden Arches tattoo across your forehead.
I'm gonna get on my butt.
Love them so much.
My buttocks.
There you go, Ricky. I'll tell you this: Facebook or mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. That's a question we've actually answered many a time. What does the Bible have to say about it? You can take it to Leviticus 19. That's where most people take it.
The only spot that talks about it in the Bible.
It's literally the only spot that talks about it in the Bible that says, "Hey, don't get any tattoos that." You know, don't get any markings on your body that honor the dead.
Don't shave your beard.
Yeah, don't wear clothing of two different linens.
Don't eat red meat.
So if you want to take that for what it's worth there, then you would also have to adhere to the rest of the Levitical law, which was set forth for the Levites. But
yep.
Other than that, I would say you can check out our show. Pray about it. Does it bring glory and honor to God? Just like we're talking with smoking. Is that going to bring glory and honor to God? And there it is.
If you believe that people with tattoos are going to go to hell, then everyone who goes to church on Sunday is going to hell with them.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's the truth.
505-338-3700 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Shock Therapy Live, you're on the air.
Hey, dude.
Hola.
Hey.
Hey, what do you think about a Christian owning a smoke shop?
Ooh, a Christian owning a smoke shop.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to hang up and let you guys discuss that.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Dun, dun, dun. What do we think?
It's a good question.
About a Christian owning a smoke shop. Well, is that any different than, say, our dear friend Dave Martinez, the owner of Addicted Ink Tattoo Shop? He is an amazing man of God, and he happens to own a tattoo shop.
I'd say, yeah, it's different.
I guess that is different. Yeah, because tattoos don't give you cancer.
Yeah, tattoos don't give you cancer. And I would also say it goes back to the idea that we're talking about something that a lot of people are mastered by in the idea of smoking. A lot of people are addicted to it. And by selling it to them, you're just providing towards their addiction. Okay, yeah, people are addicted to tattoos. I know. I saw your little face going. You're going to...
No. I have a question for you because as I think about that, I think of a liquor store, an actual liquor store near my house. And my neighbor was talking to me and he was saying, dude, I walked in there and I heard your voice and I freaked out. And it turns out the people that work at this liquor store only listen to static radio.
Yeah.
So it's like on 24/7. And so I don't know if that person that owns the place is a believer or not, but those are good questions.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, okay, this is what I think. Just me.
Because that's what they ask. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. This is your personal opinion and it means
do I think they're going to hell? No.
Nah.
Do I think if they're a sincere believer, that they should be getting convicted of owning that liquor store or that smoke shop? Yes. I believe that as a sincere believer with a true relationship with Christ, taking part in sanctification, if you do that, you'll feel convicted by it. I knew a guy who owned a smoke shop, actually, really funny, and he became a Christian. He ended up selling this smoke shop, and he ended up starting a new business because he felt convicted by it. So I think that it's something that it should bring conviction into someone's life. by having that kind of a profession.
But can't, is that, that, that's almost like a blanket statement though, because if someone has a personal conviction about not owning that, can we say that for everyone?
What do you mean?
I'm just, you know, like, 'cause your friend who owned the smoke shop who sold it because he had a personal conviction, would that mean then if someone else owned a smoke shop who professes Jesus Christ doesn't have that conviction that they're not really adhering to the Holy Spirit? I mean, honestly, can we blanket statement that?
Well, the, once again, this is what the Bible says, what I think.
I know,
so
right?
Yeah,
this,
I think
this is what Nate thinks.
Yeah,
not, you know,
I think yeah,
there's biblical.
I think they should feel convicted by that.
Okay.
I don't think there's really. I mean, these are people who are being ruled and controlled by this substance. If you think about it, you're a merchant of death.
Dude, so is the guy who owns a McDonald's.
Okay,
bro.
McDonald's is all you're going to talk about today.
Or a suntan salon. What about a tanning booth? You're a Christian and you own a tanning booth that also can cause cancer.
Does it control you?
Like, are you kidding me? Have you seen the bronze Jersey
Dude.
Shore people walking around? Yes, it can control you.
Are you going to be so ignorant right now, Steve-O, as to tell me?
I am playing hold devil's
on,
advocate.
Hold on,
this is a
hold
talk
on.
Show,
let me
bro.
Ask, let me ask a question to you.
Okay.
Are people controlled by suntanning the same way that they're addicted to nicotine?
But I don't think
question. Are people controlled by suntan as much as they're addicted to nicotine?
I think
can
they
you compare
can be.
The two?
I think you can.
It's the same.
I honestly think you can. Look at all the cougars walking around that are brown.
Dude, I did not know that UV rays made a chemical balance in your mind that literally made you addicted to it. I didn't realize that.
I know people who, and like I said, I am not a smoker, but I know people who casually smoke, who can casually smoke and not be addicted to that substance.
Once again, we're not talking about people who smoke, we're talking about people who sell the cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
What
I'm saying is,
you're changing the subject.
There are people who are addicted to overeating. There are people who are addicted to, like, any one of those people, and we're taking the blame off of those people making the foolish decisions to be controlled by a substance and putting it onto the person who is, say, selling it. I don't know.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Steve-O. Do you think it's a good witness for a Christian to sell cigarettes?
Probably not. I don't know.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I answered the question. Do you think it's a good witness for Christians to own a cigarette shop and sell tobacco for their livelihood?
What if... Okay, let me...
No. Answer the question.
Well, no, because I think of Dave Martinez, who owns a tattoo shop, and that is like his place where people come in for tattoos, and I know that when he is tattooing somebody, they are going to hear the gospel if they do not have Jesus Christ. So what if that is where God has placed that person for those people coming in to get cigarettes to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm just saying.
Hey, here's a cigarette. Go kill yourself, and while you're at it, you can go to heaven.
505-338-3700. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, guys. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're having fun.
Okay,
who is next
this?
Caller. I'm just kidding.
No, I just had to cut the news on this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I agree with Steve-O. Oh. No, listen. I do agree with Steve-O because I happen to have been really addicted to tanning.
To
and I'm
tanning?
Not lying. Yes.
Wow.
I'm so not lying.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm not just making this up.
Okay.
It's a serious issue for me. And now that I'm aging and I am not messing with you. And I think whatever it says the Bible, everything in moderation, everything is permissible, but not everything is, you know, what the scripture that says.
Right.
But we shouldn't take that out of context because crack cocaine is not permissible in moderation.
Well, that's legal. That's now you're going to like say Romans 13 where we.
But once again,
to the
I'm saying you can't just
right.
throw that out that everything's permissible.
I agree.
That doesn't play into every role.
Because you could smoke crack, but here's the deal: you could, but you're probably going to go to prison. You're going to lose your teeth. You could die. There are consequences. So yeah, you could do it. But
I think this is the difference. I view when Dave does his job, he's putting tattoos on people. It's beautiful. It's art.
If Dave's
and this is the thing.
He needs to call in.
Yes, you should call in, Dave. I want to hear what you think about this. Call in right now.
505-338-3700.
But when Dave's giving tattoos to people, it's okay. Let me think of it this way.
Okay,
if you're telling people to come to Christ, you're telling them that God loves them and cares for them extremely, and He wants them to live a prosperous life. That's well, not prosperous, but He wants
what are
them
you, Joel
to
Osteen?
Live.
He's
wants,
in the pit right
he
now.
Wants them to live a life, bringing glory to Christ.
Right.
If you're selling cigarettes and that's your livelihood, you're telling people, "Hey, God cares about you, so go ahead and smoke these and kill yourself quicker because your life isn't quite as important." Because it's not my opinion. scientifically, cigarettes, tobacco, smoking
right.
cigarettes takes away from your life.
I hear you.
By selling that and then trying to say, oh, well, I'll tell them about Jesus Christ while I'm doing it, it's saying, hey, Jesus Christ cares about you, but you don't need to care about yourself.
Right.
And I think that's retarded.
Can I just say I'm playing devil's advocate here, and the purpose of Shock Therapy Live is to challenge our audience. And I
yeah,
think
challenge
I'm,
your audience.
I'm
not
having
your
a really, I'm having a really good time right now. I just want to say that.
Yeah, I'm having a good time looking at your swastika tattoo on your hand.
Stop it!
Hey, I just think everyone on the Static Radio should know that you have a swastika tattoo.
You are the worst friend in the world, but I love you with all of my heart. We have to take a quick break because we're like 15 minutes over.
No.
We're like 15 minutes over break time.
I don't care. We already took one break.
This is why I'm the host. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with your questions and comments. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? No? Then we're not doing our job. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
This has been the best hour of my life. Can I just say that?
I quit. I'm serious. I'm not coming in next
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, my dear friend and co-host, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Telling Brian you're addicted to nicotine.
If you want to get in on the conversation, 505-338-3700. I don't hate people who eat
you
McDonald's.
You
they should make better.
Hell.
They should make better choices.
You just
better
told me on the
choices.
Break you thought they were going to go to hell.
I did not say that. You were such an see as you get on me for being devil's advocate. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, I'm the one that called that question in.
Hey, thanks for getting friends to argue. I'm just kidding.
You guys are cool. Hey, you know, I don't know if you can make that kind of judgment, really. You know, saying that, you know, some guy that the Christian that owns a smoke shop. Now, listen, if he's not convicted, then he's not convicted. I mean, what's the difference between him and some guy that owns a liquor store? Or and you know, booze can kill too.
Yeah, I think that's bad too. Right.
And what about a Christian that owns a restaurant that serves booze? Okay. Now listen, you know, I have tattoos and I had a past, and I think I know tattoos can be addictive. So what's the difference between having a tattoo shop,
right,
and giving you know people in the world of the world tattoos and helping their you know addiction if you would have it. What's the difference between that and okay, look, I mean, I don't know what the,
I don't know what the rate is. Yeah.
You know, but people can, you know, get diseases from tattoos as well. I mean, I have two friends that have hepatitis because of tattoos.
Right. And I will say this, you know, we were having fun and playing devil's advocate. Because this isn't really like a shock therapy type question. Normally it's, you know, somebody struggling with an addiction or dealing with something in their life. This is more of a hypothetical question.
Right.
And it's not a biblical answer really to give on this subject. We were just answering from our opinion and having fun with
it. And it's a catch-22.
If we say
you shouldn't do it, then we're judgmental. And if we say it's okay to do it, then we say we're too permissible.
Then we're permissible.
So it's a catch-22.
Yeah. It really is. And it's one of those questions, it's like a theological question of can God build a rock so big that he couldn't lift it? You know, it's
there's
one of those
no right
like,
answer.
There's no right answer to it because on the one hand, you're going to have the person who owns a smoke shop or a liquor store who professes Jesus Christ to get really offended and say, hey, I do love Jesus. Or the person who's conservative who thinks smoking and drinking are a sin to say, how come they didn't say it this way? Because It's a lose-lose.
And I would say this is my final thing on it. And I would say that the difference between owning that kind of a thing than owning a tattoo shop is it is something that is scientifically killing people, and it is something that puts you under the power of it to where you become addicted by it. And those two things are the only things that I would say set it apart from something else. Because, once again, this is a biblical worldview, and those are the only two things that the Bible directly talks about in relation to tobacco, is taking care of your temple and then also not to be under the power of anything. So those two things fall under tobacco. So do I think that once again, do I think a Christian who owns a tobacco shop is going to go to hell? No. But do I think that they're choosing the best profession within their life? No, I don't, because I don't think that it's good, or just as much as we don't have the right to tell someone, hey, you shouldn't smoke, we don't have the right to tell people, hey, it's okay to smoke. And by owning a tobacco shop, you're letting the world know, hey, it's okay to smoke, come get cigarettes. So I think that that's the difference between cigarettes and a tattoo shop or any other kind of shop.
All right.
Hey, we love you guys, man. We wish we could hear you down in TRC, but we don't get you down there. Even though you have a translator there, we still don't get you.
Oh, what a bummer.
So apparently you all just need to get iPhones so you can get the Static Radio app or listen online.
Listen online, yeah. You can listen live online.
I'm sorry that's not coming through clearly. All right, man. Have a great night.
Man. Thank you.
Fun times, dude. All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left to show. You want to tackle one of these Facebook questions quickly?
No.
Fine. Hey, I love you, buddy. I love you. Israel says, what does the Bible say?
Every night.
What does the Bible say about gossip, and can I approach someone about it biblically? Huh. What does the Bible say about gossip?
The Bible says that gossip is very bad, not just bad.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that God hates.
Right.
So it's definitely something very bad that we're told not to do all throughout Scripture. I only have 2 minutes, so I can't give you like the thousands of references in the Bible. Not thousands, but there's a lot of references
in the Bible.
I would
say just go to the back of your Bible and look up the word gossip.
And you'll find like 100 of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So gossip is bad. And what was the other part of the question?
How do you approach someone biblically on it? Say, you know, someone comes to you at church and they're like, hey, Nate, we really need to pray for this person because they're cheating on their wife. And then they're blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to answer this jokingly, but there's a hint of truth in it.
Okay.
John Acuff says in his book, Stuff Christians Like, that every single small group should make a gossip stick. And this stick is a big stick that the whole entire small group gets to decorate. And then when somebody brings up in the small group, hey, you know, I just want to pray about this somebody, whoever grabs the stick first gets to hit them in the head with it. That's what I think, and that's all I'm going to say.
Honestly, we just talked about it. Luke chapter 17 says if somebody sins against you, go to them. You know what I mean? You go to them, and if they repent, you forgive them, simply. Gossip is a very scary, dangerous, horrible thing. I've seen it tear families apart. I've seen it tear churches apart. I've seen it do lots of unbelievably scary things, and that is why it is one of the things God just hates. He finds it detestable. It's gossip. There's nothing good in it, and so
yeah, this is how I do it. Someone comes to me and they start to talk about this. My first question is, hey, have you talked to this person about this?
Right.
And then if they say no, then I say, okay, does this person know you're talking to me about this? No. Okay, then I don't want to talk to you. And
right.
That's just it. I just stop
until
talking to them.
Until you talk to the said person.
Yeah, talk to them, then come back to me.
Right.
Ask
Absolutely.
Them if it's okay for you to talk about this, because I guarantee you, when they told you this or when you find out about this, someone said, don't tell anybody, and now you're telling somebody.
Now I will say this: if somebody is harming themselves, if somebody is involved in a situation where it is life-threatening and they're like, hey, don't tell anybody, but I'm cutting, or I'm, you know, you never know what it may be. That's a situation where you definitely do want to go to a pastor and say, dude, this person is doing this. But again, you're right. You need to go to them. The Bible talks about it multiple times, going to your brother. You go to that brother and you say, hey, dude, here's A, B, and C. Here's what's not cool. Here's what's going on. You lovingly talk to them, because you speak the truth in love. And
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Amen.
You go to them in
Hey,
love.
I wonder if one of these two people calling is Dave. By the way, if you're on the phone, if you're not Dave, we're going to hang up on you because we only have a minute. So we're going to see if you're Dave.
Well,
so we're going to answer both.
It's 9 or 7:59.
Come on, I want Dave to do the boom with me.
I know. Stay on the, let's see. I'm going to put him on hold and we're going to see. We'll find out. That is the end
someone
of our show.
Up. Look at someone hung up.
Oh.
That was Dave.
No. That's the end of our show. Thanks for being a part of Shock Therapy Live. If you missed a portion of it,
you didn't hear me once.
You can check it out at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive.
You
are impossible tonight.
You probably give your kids rocks instead of bread.
Let's go eat McDonald's right now.
You give them snakes.
I haven't eaten dinner yet.
You give them snakes
instead
of bread.
You obviously haven't eaten since Saturday because you're grumpy.
Yeah, only because of you. You probably mute me so I can't do the boom.
Oh, man. It has been a wonderful evening. Thanks to everybody who called in and was a part of the show. If you would like to get your question in, you still can.
Hey,
studio@mystaticradio.com.
Guy, about the tobacco question. Thanks for putting enmity between two brothers. Boom!
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.